Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
An Erios Original.
Hey, everyone. Are you my friend or family member? Do you listen to this podcast regularly and want more episodes? Then the RRS method is just for you. Take a moment right now to rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us get the word out and ensures that we get to make more of these. Thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot to us.
Hi, this is Amanda. I run the Erios Network, and I will confirm that if The Alarmist doesn't get 5 new reviews by next week, the show will be canceled.
No! Guys, that's a threat. Here's a recent review that we got. OchoWR8 says, awesome show, one tip. He gave us 5 stars. Just made aware of the show by Google searching best podcasts. Today is day 3 and I've listened to probably 5 episodes. I love learning about historical disasters. One tip, can you do a YouTube video while you're recording your podcast? This may already be happening, but just thought it could be another great avenue to get the awesome show to the masses. Great job. Well, thank you, Ocho. And Amanda, can we do a YouTube video?
Yes, in fact, we can, but only if we get 15 new reviews by next week.
Oh, no, guys. It keeps going up. Get to typing, people. The show depends on it.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am The Alarmist.
Today we're going to be covering the Silver Bridge collapse. And this was actually recommended to us by one of our listeners a while back, and I actually can't find their name. So if you're out there and it's you, please email us, let us know. This one's for you. Listener, mystery person. Now, I've actually never been afraid of bridges, and after doing research for today's episode, I can now fully confirm that bridge collapses are one of my newest, greatest fear. So thank you so much, mystery listener. Here's what you need to know about the Silver Bridge collapse. The Silver Bridge, also known as the Point Pleasant Bridge, which connected southern Ohio and West Virginia, was packed with rush hour commuters and holiday shoppers on December 15, 1967. At around 5 p.m., the I-bar chain suspension bridge built in 1928 collapsed, sending cars and trucks into the Ohio River and resulting in the deaths of 46 people. Investigation of the wreckage pointed to the cause of the collapse being the failure of a single I-bar in a suspension chain. Due to a small defect, 0.1 inches deep, this hairline fracture eventually gave out and made the I-bar crack, causing a domino effect that brought the entire bridge down. The Silver Bridge collapse remains the deadliest bridge disaster in United States history. Fun facts, aka death stats. This December 15 marks 52 years since the bridge collapse. Witnesses estimated that it took only about a minute for the whole bridge to fall. The bridge served 4,000 vehicles every day. It was named the Silver Bridge for the color of its aluminum paint. The Silver Bridge was 2,235 feet long, just under a half a mile. It was a two-lane bridge that stood 102 feet above the Ohio River. The construction of the bridge only took 1 year. In all, 31 vehicles went into the Ohio River that day, sending 64 people into its 44-degree waters. Of the 64 that went in, 46 died. Two of the 46 victims were never found. What a truly insane tragedy. And today, we have a very special guest. He's a good friend of mine, Matt Hobby.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Matt.
Here. Yeah. Here to brighten up this tragic thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for... If you guys could only see Matt, he's got a great smile, and he loves a good hangout.
I do. I love a good hang.
Now, you actually might know his voice from the popular network TV sitcom Young Sheldon.
Yes, I speak with a southern accent in that.
Show us the twang.
Hey, how y'all doing? Nice to be here.
Now, and you play the pastor?
I play the pastor on the show. Yes, that is correct.
So now you guys have a good visual of the smile he's giving us.
All the background actors say, you know who you look like? You look like Joel Osteen.
Oh, yeah, you
yeah,
do.
All the time.
Also with us today is fact checker Chris.
Hi, what's up, what's up? Yo, fact checking into your ears today.
That's enough.
Wow.
And I don't have a thing yet. Like,
okay,
so I'm still
we're figuring it out. And we also have producer Amanda.
Hi, guys. But I have to say today I'm handing over the controls to Chris because I have to go watch Home Alone.
Wow. Spoiler alert for next week. Now, Matt is a perfect guest for us today because not only does he have a little bit of OCD about home security, that's just like who he is. You know, tell us a little bit about that first.
Well, I have to protect myself and my family and my home. I'm also risk averse when it comes to my finances.
He's just our kind of guy here.
So I've created a home security system that consists entirely of dowel rods.
Go on.
Yeah, it's just basically the windows on my house are like they slide side to side.
Oh, gotcha.
And
that's a problem.
I'm just so afraid that somebody could, because the locks are just, they're so plastic and cheap.
Yeah.
That I just put some dowel rods. It's really like a grandparent kind of move.
We used to do that in Florida. My parents do that.
So did mine. Yeah. I'm from Florida as
well. Yeah, and we did that in New York. I used to have a piece of ply of wood that I would put on top of the windows. Those went up and down.
Right.
That's
the sort of thing like it's like the club for your car, although I never quite understood how those worked. Like I was like, why does putting that on your steering wheel save your car?
Right.
Well, it extends the steering wheel. It sticks out so that you can't turn the wheel.
But what if you just stole it and went straight?
Went straight. I don't know that anybody's ever tried that.
Yeah.
But now you can.
Yeah.
Good idea. But not just that. So Yeah, that's your thing.
Right.
But also, you had a grandfather who almost was on a bridge collapse.
Now, this is, yes, and there's a little bit, this is like family lore, and it's in my brain, and I don't know who told me, and I don't know if I dreamed it.
So he's a reliable source.
But, yes, there was a bridge in Florida called the Skyway Bridge, which connects Pinellas and Manatee counties. This is on the Gulf Coast, like off the Gulf of Mexico. And there was a suspension bridge there, and it had similar to the Silver Bridge.
I-bar.
It was not an I-bar bridge.
It was a
but
chain?
It collapsed.
Okay.
And my great-grandfather, my mom's grandfather, was, according to family lore, driving a bus over the bridge at the time and escaped. So I'm here.
And here you are.
I'm here on a podcast.
Wow. He probably must have. He drove over it. He drove over it and then it collapsed.
Or he was on it. While it was
collapsing.
Because it's a long bridge.
Yeah.
There's a long run-up to the actual suspension bridge part.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know that he was on the suspended part, but was on the run-up or the run-down.
That is terrifying.
Nothing scarier. I mean, that is really my biggest fears is the thing you have no control over.
Ugh.
Those people were... that nobody did anything wrong. Right?
Well,
and none of the victims
or
did
they?
Anything wrong.
Well, of course,
yes,
none of the victims.
They bought heavy cars. That was something I read about.
Well, the Sunshine Skyway Bridge collapse was in 1980. Is this correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And it says that a freighter ship hit the bridge during a heavy rainstorm.
Well, that's even scarier.
Right. See? Exactly. It wasn't even the fault of the bridge.
Right.
You know? What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor? You know, somebody hits the bridge and you're like, my commute.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's get started blaming, because that's what we're here to do.
Yep.
And we can actually talk about the disaster scene first. Here are some accounts from the survivors and witnesses who lived through this horrific scene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from corrosiondoctors.org. Many heroic eyewitnesses tried to help the victims who fell in the water. Rescue crews were on the disaster scene within minutes and were able to save some of the people from drowning on the Ohio River. Witnesses indicated that many of the vehicles were floating downstream while passengers would beat on the windows trying to escape. Now, this is a horrible, horrific visual. One eyewitness described seeing a truck driver standing on the top of his truck, Cobb yelling for help as his vehicle slowly floated downstream in the cold water. William Needham, a truck driver from Kernsville, North Carolina, barely escaped death. He was in the cab of his truck driving across the bridge when the collapse occurred. He managed to survive, but his partner in the truck cab never escaped the water of the Ohio River. His partner was asleep in the rear cab and had strapped himself in for safety when the bridge collapsed. So not even like the safety measures.
So folks, don't wear your seatbelts.
That's right.
That's the takeaway.
That's the takeaway. If we were to stop right now.
Anytime you're heading over a bridge, go ahead and unclick that belt.
Now, in all fairness, though, yes. And and you know what I keep in my car is a hammer, one of those hammers that you can break the window.
A great idea. Yes.
Because that was the other thing. They couldn't get the windows down. Once the car goes in,
How big is that hammer?
It's. I bought it on Amazon. It's not that big. You can put it in your glove compartment.
So trustworthy source.
It wasn't that expensive, so it's TBD how well it works.
What's it made of?
There is some plastic and some metal.
What kind of metal? Hopefully something stronger than aluminum.
No. It's metal. It's not like a... They make them for cars. It's for windows. Meant for car windows.
For car windows that can survive kicking, right? I mean, that's the thing. Why are we making car windows so strong?
Well, because rocks. Have you ever been driving on the road and then like a rock flies out of a truck?
Fair. So you think your tiny plastic hammer is stronger than a rock that hits your window on a highway?
Yeah, I think it has a warranty, so I trust it.
They're not getting many warranty claims. Anyone who doesn't work for dies. is dead.
That's really true. But Okay, we'll not think about that. We're not going to think about that right now. So this was a terrible scene. I mean, a lot of people lost their lives. They were stuck in the cars. Like there were families that were together, and some made it, some didn't. There's an account of a man whose wife and their 17-month-old daughter were in the vehicle, and he survived, but he wasn't able to get her out. It was, you know, it must have been one of those. I can't imagine just standing on the side and watching that happen.
Oh,
you know,
never.
What a crazy visual of this bridge just falling down and cars just falling into a river. I mean, absolutely terrible.
This is one of the things. As a new parent, I have a 2-year-old. As a new parent, I feel like maybe I was emotionally dead before, but like now, anything involving kids. Like news stories about kids, it's so much more visceral, you know, to hear that thing about an 18-month-old is just it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, and it's on top of it, it's Christmas time.
Oh,
you know,
Christmas.
It's December 15th, yeah. So like you know, the bridge was full of Christmas shoppers and you know people doing their Christmas shopping, you know, going to and fro. Just terrible. And not just that, but like commuters, you know, just people going home from work. The last thing you think about when you're going home from work is that something like that is going to happen. Yeah. Obviously, you just want to, you know, you want to forget about your work day and get home and have dinner.
Yeah.
See your loved ones. So
you're like, bills up my ass. It's the end of the quarter. You know, all I want is...
Doris from accounting is
asking me
for papers.
Have my chicken fried steak and go to bed.
Yeah. So, absolutely horrible.
Cold water.
Yeah.
Cold water could be to blame here.
Mm.
Cold water.
That's interesting. Now, you think because of hypothermia.
How long does hypothermia take to set in? I know nothing.
Okay. Well, first fact checker mission, I guess.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well,
thank
you want to temporarily
in the Titanic, I think it took like 15 minutes or something.
Okay.
But
so
that was very cold
really
water.
Really, air is the thing.
And also, I'm assuming it's a river. It's the Ohio River. So
moving
there's
river.
Like heavy...
That's a deep river. I mean, if it's got to be a deep river...
It's a strong
for
current.
All those, but like for trucks and cars to sink.
Yes.
Right? To sink, you're talking what? At least, you know, what? You got to have at least 10 feet of depth, right?
So, okay, let's talk about the type of bridge. This is even before we start pointing fingers.
Okay.
You know?
I'm ready to point fingers, but yes.
I know, but yes, we must.
Okay. Okay.
So, what is an I-bar chain suspension bridge?
Hmm.
Good question, right? Let's start by understanding what is a suspension bridge, period, right? The popular ones that come to mind are Golden Gate Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge.
What a bridge.
Yeah, great bridges. These suspension bridges are the type in which the deck, the load-bearing portion, is hung below suspension cables on vertical suspenders. That's hundreds of wires bundled up together to form larger cables that hold the bridge up. If one wire were to snap, there are hundreds more to keep the cable steady, right? So this is like an insurance system. It's like a one might call it a support system.
Right.
And for just a visual, I mean, you've seen, for the listeners, you've seen a suspension bridge in the examples you gave. The very sort of smaller example of it is thinking about a hammock and two trees being sort of like the two pillars and the hammock in the middle supporting the weight. Instead of it being you, it's the sort of whatever cars
right.
that are coming through.
Yeah.
So if one of those little strings that's holding up the hammock tears apart, the hammock's not going to fall down. Right?
Right, right.
Because you have many cables.
And if you fall out, it's probably 6 inches to the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Hammocks There's a lot of
hammocks are safe, relatively safe. I would give them a stamp of safety.
I mean, unless you get extreme with it. Unless you go extreme hammocking.
Extreme, yeah. Which is a thing.
Is it?
Yes. No,
it
they totally
be.
Go up
no,
way high in the trees.
Fact check that.
Of course it has to
extreme
be.
Extreme hammocking.
It has to be. People are so dumb.
But okay, an I-bar chain suspension bridge is different in the sense that it doesn't use cables. It uses I-bars. Now, the I-bars that were used were long steel plates. Now, these are 2 inches thick with a 12-inch face and range from 44 to 55 feet in length. So the ends of the I-bars terminated in loops allowing pins to join them to the next eyebar section, like a bicycle chain, if that makes any sense.
Totally does.
I've been
on a bike.
But yes, that's exactly what that is. Yeah. So the pins hold this metal plate. Like it looks almost like a wrench. Imagine a wrench, but with circles at the end instead of those open claws.
Right.
Okay. So they also bore the hanging weight of vertical supports that held up the bridge deck below, so like other suspension bridges. While other successful bridges had used eyebar chain suspension and incorporated many redundancies, at the time the nearest model to the Silver Bridge was the now decommissioned bridge in Florianópolis, Brazil.
Ah, what a name. Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? Florianópolis.
Well, you say it much better than I. Other eyebar models, like the Three Sisters in Pittsburgh, constructed at the same time, were shorter and used as many as 8 bars in a section. The Silver Bridge only used 2.
2 bars.
2 bars. We're talking, yeah. Usually the other bridges used 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. So if one of those broke.
Right.
Or cracked.
Yeah.
There would be at least 5 other bars. And these are strong bars. But if you have 2 and one breaks.
Listen, if I've got 2 bars on my phone, I'm not making a call.
No, that's right.
You know what I mean?
What
I don't want
point.
2 bars on a bridge.
You're trying to get to Wi-Fi.
No.
Exactly.
This is what's wild.
So I did a little tiny bit of fact checking just as a visual. It's really hard to kind of describe the difference between a suspension bridge and a eyebar bridge. But one thing that they kept saying was in a suspension bridge, there's more redundancies,
yeah.
Basically meaning mm-hmm. there are more wires so that if one wire happens to snap, then there are many, many, many more wires
exactly.
that can hold this thing together.
Just like our hammock theory.
Whereas the if one eyebar
it's gets, brutal.
Get cracks or breaks, as is what happened in the Silver Bridge. Like if one part of that eye bar breaks, then the whole bridge collapses.
It goes down. So I mean, let's talk about the mechanics of how it actually went down. So the bridge failure was due to a defect in a single link, eye bar 330 on the north of the Ohio subsidiary chain. So the first link below the top of the Ohio Tower, so it was closer to the Ohio side. A small crack was formed through fretting wear at the bearing and grew through internal corrosion, a problem known as stress corrosion cracking, which we'll talk about later on.
Right.
The crack was only, like I said, 0.1 inches deep when it went critical, and it broke in a brittle fashion. So growth of the crack was probably exacerbated by residual stress in the eye bar created during manufacture is what they think. With only 2 bars, the failure of one could impose excessive loading on the second. So all of the weight goes to the second one, mm-hmm. causing the total failure, which would be unlikely if more bars were used. While a low redundancy chain can be engineered to the design requirements, the safety is completely dependent upon correct high quality manufacturing, assembly, and maintenance. Mm. So you need 3 things to go perfectly well. And if we know humans,
right,
that never happens.
You got to make it. You got to come up with it. You got to get the right material. You got to put it together the right way. And you got to check it on
yes.
it. Checking on things is so imperative.
It's a huge ask. It's a huge ask for humanity who has proven to us that they're not.
Somebody along the way is just going to do a half-assed job at one
exactly.
of those things.
Yeah, and fills up my ass. It's the end of the quarter. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And he's like, I just gotta get through today.
Look, it's a paycheck, you know what I mean? For these people.
Yeah.
It is true. I mean, the stakes are so high that if you accept a job like this, you got to feel like you feel the responsibility.
But
I would
probably,
hope so.
You know, the thing about like the low bid theory, right? Like everybody choose, like a city is going to choose a low bid.
Right.
Right. So they're like, hey, we got this beautiful design of this eyebar bridge. It's safe if it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then who are we going to get to build it? Well, one guy wants to charge us, you know, $8 million, And but this guy says he can do it for 2.5.
That's right. We have a fireplace we need to work on at our house. And a guy gave us a really high quote. And there's no way we can pay for it.
No.
So I'm wondering if I can just get in there myself, go get some brick from, I don't know, the local brick maker.
Yeah.
Maybe even steal a few from another project.
Yeah, of course.
And then just do it myself.
Yes, this is where I come in and I say, absolutely not. That's not going to happen. And I'm glad we discussed this.
It's interesting that Matt brought up...
I just want you to know, fact checker, I have your back. I think you should get in that fireplace. I think you should go for it. I think, what's the worst that could
fireplace?
Happen?
Fireplace? What's the first part of fireplace?
Fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's not done right, it will burn your house down.
But Matt brings up a good point, because later in the document you talk about, did the...
Oh, yeah.
Company, American Bridge Company.
Well, we're
going
to get to that after this break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you so much, myself or anyone else who was talking about another product. Now we're back. So I'm hungry to put people up on the board. And I feel like we should start with the designer.
Ooh.
Now, the Silver Bridge was designed by J.E. Griner Company, but it was built by Gallia County, Ohio River Bridge Company, later West Virginia, Ohio Bridge Company, and its subcontractor, U.S. Steel's American Bridge Company. Now, that means that they're
already
the ones...
in a web of lies.
I know. There's so many people.
Follow the money. Follow the money.
So that means that the ones who actually carried out the work for the project were the American Bridge Company. So they got hired by the other companies to do the work for the bridge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
although the original, this is according to transportation.wv.gov, so sounds official. Although the original design had called for conventional wire cables, an I-bar chain design, bid as an alternate, came in at a lower price. So the American Bridge Company, which won the bid, they won the bid for the project. This is exactly how you painted it. They settled on the cheaper method of using I-bars instead of cables.
Dowel
of
rods
steel wire.
Instead of a Nest home security system. Dowel rods from Home Depot.
It's like, you know this person.
Oh,
you know.
I am this person. Yes. I was meant to be a disgraced city councilman. You know?
Oh, you would play a great one on TV. What do you think? I mean, I think we should put the American Bridge Company.
American Bridge Company's got to go on the board. But I also think, so the original design had more redundancies, as Fact Checker put it, right?
The original design, they wanted...
a suspension.
Yes,
cable
the conventional
suspension.
Wire cables. Yeah. That's what they wanted.
But here's the thing, right? There's nothing wrong with... Do we want to debate at this point?
Of course.
Okay. Who's approving? Who's saying yes to the bid, right?
It's a good question.
Oh, boy.
This is because it's, you know, if I come to your house and I say, hey, I'll fix your fireplace for, you know, a six-pack and a bowl of Lucky Charms.
Right.
And you say no, I didn't do anything wrong. I just offered to do it for cheap. And if you say yes, and then I do a terrible job, which I would...
Right.
Fixing a fireplace, and then your house burns down. Whose fault was it? Was it my fault or was it yours for saying yes?
I guess it depends on the contract. If there was a contract signed and there, you were like, okay, you're going to do this right and it's going to last me 10 years,
the
right?
The only contract you ever sign is one that limits the liability of the person who gave you the contract.
I know.
Right? Like, that's all it ever is. It's always like, by stepping into this climbing gym, you agree to sue us when you break your fingers.
This is a problem with our society.
Right. Lawyers.
Well, just
Let's
lack
put
of responsibility.
Lawyers on the board.
But it's a good question, though, because if it's bridging West Virginia and Ohio, whose municipality does that fall under, and who made the final decision to approve the design?
Right. Yeah, see, you took my dumb question and made it smart. I appreciate that.
So it looks like Gallia County, Ohio River Bridge Company, they were the ones that had it. They got American Bridge Company as a subcontractor.
Can we just look at this from 10,000 feet for a second? Who wants to go to West Virginia?
I've heard it's actually
Ohio
beautiful.
Why did we need a bridge right here?
We'll
never answer that question. I'm sorry. Just kidding.
You know, who knows? They're going back and forth. You might live in West Virginia and work in Ohio. You need that bridge,
baby. Not if there's
baby.
Not a bridge, you don't.
You're saying Ohio and West Virginia should have
they
stayed in their own
place.
They
should not be, yes. Should have stayed separate.
I've been to Ohio, and I have not been to West Virginia. But I've heard great things about West Virginia, and Ohio was lovely when I went. A lot of open fields, I would say.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure they're both wonderful places. I was just being a putt.
I was going to let you finish that sentence.
Don't perpetuate the stereotypes of podcasters, Matt.
Right. Fair. Okay. Fair.
So, okay. So do we want to put... I think that's a really good question. Does it fall into the West Virginia or Ohio? Or do they share the blame? Maybe we put the Ohio and West Virginia government.
Yeah. Ohio and West Virginia government.
Because they have to share it, right?
Right. They've got
it was a joint
it.
Idea.
Right.
They had to get approval both ways.
Yeah.
It's on the board.
Yeah. Ohio can't approve
right.
a bridge for
alone.
West Virginia. You know?
Exactly.
That's right.
So what do the analysts say, right? So this happens, and of course, I believe it was Lyndon B. Johnson was the president at the time, and he it says, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of, you know,
the Ohio
what
River.
Happened.
No, what happened. Okay, right.
And he starts an investigation. According to Timeline.com, the most alarming part of the forensics analysis conclusion was that there was no way for engineers or maintenance crews to have found the ruinous defect, save by taking apart the entire joint, which, since it was integral to the bridge's structural integrity, would have been merely restating the problem. Right? So if they took it out to inspect it, then the bridge would have fallen.
Would collapse, right.
If ever a design was to blame for failure, writes engineering historian Henry Petrowski, this was it. So Petrowski thinks that the design is to be blamed, but the design was dictated by the money, by the cost. Because the original design was different.
So it's a good point. There's no way that what he's saying essentially is there's no way to properly inspect the IBAR design.
Right.
Because you can't get into certain areas. There's just no way to inspect it. You have to pull it all apart in order to properly inspect it. So the design itself is flawed in the sense that you can't properly.
Right.
Who was the first to design the IBAR bridge?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Let's look that
because
up.
Because. If that's it, then that's that person's, whoever was like, what about a bicycle chain for a bridge?
Right. But they might have been like, as long as you use 6 to 8 of them. It's the choices that were made. I don't think you can blame the designer of the IBAR. It's just the person who approved this the two IBAR system is the problem.
Yes.
Okay, so why don't we put the designer of the bridge, who they say is J.E. Griner Company.
Griner. I mean, who trusts somebody with a last name Griner?
Who trusts somebody who won't even tell you what their first and middle names are?
Exactly. I know.
J.E. J.E. What's the big mystery?
It could be a John.
James Edward?
It could be a Jason.
You know, Jimmy? Jimmy?
Jeffrey.
What's the worst J name?
Oh, I almost said Jackson, and then I have like three nephews named Jackson. Not nephews, but extended family. The worst J name. Oh, I know it. So my wife's cousin lived with an Irish guy whose name was Jarlath.
Jarlath?
Jarlath.
Okay.
That is the worst J name I've ever heard. I'm really impressed with myself that I remembered it.
So Jarlath E. Griner.
Yeah.
He's embarrassed, right?
Yes, that's the uncontested winner, Jarlath.
So, okay, so we've got that company up on the board. Now, I went online, as I do, and I looked up American Bridge Company, and they're still around.
Still in business.
Yes, baby.
Oof.
Now, here's what their website says about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The history of American Bridge Company is rich with record-breaking spans, never-before-seen engineering and construction techniques, and countless innovations that have set us apart. Founded as a J.P. Morgan-engineered merger of 28 bridge and structural companies in 1900, we have set ourselves apart pursuing and completing legendary bridge, marine, and complex structure projects worldwide. This is our history and our future. So nowhere on the site did they say that they built the Silver Bridge.
Right. Except for that one.
They didn't.
In parentheses at the end.
Just a little dishonest.
In all fairness, so they're currently still building bridges.
It has been 50 years since our last collapse.
I would say most of their bridges have not fallen. Most of them. Is that a good amount? You be the judge.
Yeah.
So, why did they go cheap, is my question. Why? Why did they go cheap?
Profits. Come on. It's got to be profits, right? If they are
money,
a merger.
Money in the pocket,
right? They are, by their own admission, a merger of 28 steel and bridge manufacturing companies.
Uh-huh.
So, that means they merged into one guy's pocketbook. And he was like, you know what? I think I want more this year. I want more. Okay. And he wanted to, you know, I want a bigger boat.
That's right.
Oh, he wanted a bigger boat.
Profits. You know,
I'm tired of my boat fitting in the Ohio River.
The guy wanted a bigger boat.
Yeah.
That's so, yes. Most sources, here's what I found. Most sources report that the bridge cost $1.2 million, though Bullard et al. Cited a 1928 financial statement from American Bridge Company that put the cost at $900,000.
Mm.
So they might have charged $1.2 million,
right, but actually they claimed exactly. $900,000. So that's what, $300,000 in redundancy steel bars that was not in it?
This is 1928 when the bridge is being built. So right. The $300,000, maybe we can look up what is the... exchange rate, not exchange rate.
Yeah, like what's it worth?
300,000 plus inflation.
Inflation.
300,000 plus inflation.
Ooh, my this guess. Is not okay. Guess. What's your guess? This is my 1928. Guess. Where the financial crisis has not happened.
So it's
depression.
It's been almost 100 years. I think that $300,000 is probably worth $36.2 million.
Whoa, no way. $300,000 is probably worth, I'm going to put it at $2 million.
Ooh.
Okay. So, according
Showcase Showdown.
DollarTimes.com, $300,000 in 1928 is worth $4
million.
Whoa. Well, yeah, you were way closer than me.
$641.62 today.
Wow. So you said 36 million.
Well, you know.
you're more of a hopeful. I'm more of a pessimist.
I was thinking about compound interest and you know, if you had it invested in like an index fund.
Sure. So that's but 4 million is a pretty penny, you know.
Yeah.
And that to me gives intent
mm-hmm.
for the American bridge company.
Major
to
intent.
Want to go cheap.
Yes.
So it's kind of just like a strike against the American Bridge Company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other question is, who approved like of all of the who are the inspectors, right? Now, the West Virginia DMV website says inspections which had been done by the private owner from 1928 to 1941, which private owner being American Bridge Company.
Right.
Were taken over by the State Road Commission in 1941. Ooh. Okay. State standards were followed during inspections, which were noted in 1959, 1963, and 1964. Following an inspection in 1965, some 30,000 in recommended repairs were completed. So they actually did some repairs in 65. Two more inspections were done in the summer of 1967 with a final visit by the commission's area maintenance engineer on December 6th. So the maintenance engineer went on December 6th.
And it crashed on the 15th.
Yeah, that's 9 days before.
Wow.
So now, but just going back to earlier, just our buddy Henry Petrosky.
Oh, yes.
Was talking about there's no way to adequately inspect.
Right.
So even the inspectors are just kind of like, I mean, they're there, but according to this guy Petrosky, there's no way to adequately even inspect the bridge. So yeah. Are the inspections even that important?
Right.
Here? Well, are they really to blame? Mm-hmm. Which is what we're trying to do.
We're trying to figure out. I mean, Henry Petrosky, who I looked up, is actually pretty legit. He's an American engineer specializing in failure analysis and a professor both of civil engineering and history at Duke University and also a prolific author. So he knows what he's talking about, and he's the one who's pointing the finger at the designer.
The designer. So the big question is, do we go over Henry's head? And even though he doesn't want us to put inspectors on the board, do we put him there anyway?
Well, okay, so this is very interesting that you bring this up. Remember the stress corrosion and the corrosion fatigue that was blamed earlier,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
by the inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
So the task force final report of the people who were doing the evaluation after the bridge collapse, 3 years after the collapse, they came up with their report and assigned no blame to the bridge designers. It's noted that they blamed it on stress corrosion and corrosion fatigue. And they said that it was not known to occur in that class of bridge material used under conditions of exposure normally encountered in rural areas. So they said that the designer couldn't have known that stress corrosion and corrosion fatigue could have happened because they didn't have the knowledge. So they're
saying nobody's to blame.
But that's right? A little fishy to me. That's fishy to me.
They're yeah. saying that we didn't have the information about the sort of the environment?
Yeah.
Or are they saying they learned about the environment's effects on corrosion later?
Okay, so let's learn a little bit about this corrosion thing, right?
Sure.
This is, again, Petrovsky, right? He says, the design made it difficult to inspect. Petrovsky pointed out that the design did have a flaw. The failure was rooted in a design that inadvertently made inspection all but impossible and failure all but inevitable. So it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? This is a chicken or egg situation, right? Stress corrosion.
Egg, but yes.
Stress corrosion cracking is the cracking induced from a combined influence of tensile stress and corrosive environment. The impact of SCC on a material usually falls between dry cracking and the fatigue threshold of that material. Now, this is getting scientific, right? Or this is getting
that's our area engineering. Of expertise, baby.
Yeah, the good thing is I went to never mind.
I'm pretty sure you went to drama.
The good
school.
Thing is you put dowels in your windows.
Yeah. I did a lot of breathing physics. In the basement of a college in Tallahassee. So I'm qualified to talk physics. Well, this is physics. This is biology.
I don't know.
We're pretty sure.
We don't even know what this is.
This is a science.
So this, of course, led me to Google. How does corrosion happen? And okay, this is what I found. General corrosion occurs when most or all of the atoms on the same metal surface are oxidized, damaging the entire surface. Most metals are easily oxidized. I know that my silver metal jewelry gets oxidized, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, I thought you were like my silver metal. Right. Full stop. No. And I was like, what did you metal in?
Please. I've never touched a metal.
That couldn't fit around your finger.
Floor routine.
Exactly. Yeah. Most metals are easily oxidized. They tend to lose electrons to oxygen and other substances in the air or in water. As oxygen is reduced, gains electrons, it forms an oxide with the metal. Okay. So this is a lot to process.
It's how your bumper rusts, basically.
Yes, yeah. Essentially. So you're... What I'm getting here is that oxygen is to blame.
Oh. Yeah, I mean.
It's going up on the board.
It's going up just on the board.
No, oxygen is to blame.
I mean, you had your chance to stop it and you sighed instead. And so
right,
we're putting
because
it up on the board.
I guess the truth, you know, from this point of view, from this angle.
Yes.
And I should note here, I'm a people pleaser, so I'm going to have a real hard time deciding who to blame. I'm going to want everyone to agree to all take the blame, and that's never going to happen because of legal ramifications. But yeah, it's the idea, you know, if the steel had a crack and there was no oxygen in the crack, then the steel would not have corroded, and therefore the design would have been fine.
Right.
Right.
That's the logic.
So
we're
it's almost
using
so
here.
The manufacturer of the steel. We should put that up on the board.
Steel manufacturer should yes. definitely go up on the board.
Yes.
Okay, steel
definitely.
Manufacturer is up there.
Okay.
And if
and I've got O2 as well.
Yeah.
And if we recall from my research on the American Bridge Company, mm-hmm. they were a merge situation mm-hmm. of steel companies.
Correct. Ooh.
So I'm assuming their steel is in-house.
In-house steel.
Oh boy. Or they have some kind of connection. I mean,
sounds like a job for the fact checker. Beyond that.
Yeah. But if I was a conglomerate of steel companies focused on bridges, I would probably sell myself my own steel for cheap.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So
more profits, more boats.
That's right.
More boats.
You got to get the boat.
Yeah, it's all about a boat.
It's
I mean,
all about
everybody,
boats.
You know, anyone can afford a car. Who can afford a boat? The rich.
That's right.
Yachts, baby. Now, another factor that plays into this collapse mm-hmm. is the increase in automobile weights and traffic. A Okay, two major things. Mm-hmm. So another thing that helped the corrosion fatigue and stress corrosion in bringing down the bridge was the weight of the new cars and trucks. At the time of the bridge construction, a typical family automobile was the Ford Model T, with a weight of 1,500 pounds. The maximum permitted truck gross weight was about 20,000 pounds. Now, by contrast, at the time of the collapse, a typical family automobile weighed about 4,000 pounds.
Ooh.
And the large truck limit was 60,000 pounds. Bumper-to-bumper traffic jams on the bridge were also much more common, several times a day, 5 days each week, thus causing more stress to the bridge elements. And again, more people were getting more cars. So 1928...
Right.
Less people owned cars than in 1967.
Everyone was still on horses. I mean, not really.
Not really, but...
I take that
But
back.
There were people who but were people using did. Horses.
Jockeys were on horses.
Right.
That's true.
And they still are. Because otherwise...
To some degree, yes.
Otherwise,
some...
you're just walking. Yeah. In tight pants.
So, which is fine, too.
I mean, that is...
Heavier cars. You want to put it up?
Heavier cars, yeah. The automobile industry getting heavy, gaining weight.
Letting itself go a little bit.
Yeah. And this one I have a hard time blaming the cars. I'm going to push back. This is my first.
Well, I hope save it's okay. It for later.
Okay, great. I'll wait. I feel much more comfortable waiting.
And a few things that I wanted to bring up too before we start blaming are, one, my favorite for this, although we'll see what you think. Lack of alarmism. Bridge came to be known for its tendency to rock and shake. Okay. So this is well known for the people of the town. Salesman Ben Cedar crossed Silver Bridge around 15 minutes before its collapse, but only reluctantly. He, quote, "I was worried about the bridge every time I crossed over," he said. "If you got stuck in the middle of that bridge, you would wave back and forth, back and forth." Analysis showed that the bridge was carrying much heavier loads than it had originally been designed for and was poorly maintained.
If I'm ever on a bridge and I have a feeling that I describe as waving, I will never use that bridge again.
Yes.
Right. But who do you call?
So Ghostbusters.
Where did the...
Yeah, I know. Felt like,
so, I had I to like, say it. Say
it? I thought about it. And I was like, don't do that. But now that the host
But I, you know, yeah. I thought about it.
Makes me feel good.
I decided to go.
But where do you put your alarmism, I guess, is my question. If there isn't Twitter around at the time. Like, Twitter feels like the thing you would go and complain to these
maybe.
Days. But where do you direct your alarmism at the time?
I guess I would go to the Department of Transportation. If I need to cross that bridge every day to get to work, and I get stuck in the middle of it one day, and I'm swaying back and forth, I'll be honest with you, I'll wait for a next time to start swaying back and forth. Like, I'll cross it again. And if it happens again, I'm like, this is not okay. I don't feel comfortable crossing this bridge every single day to go to work.
Right, the first time you might be like, it's maybe the wind.
Isn't me, yeah. And then after it happens a couple of times, you're like, this is not good.
After the second time, you don't say, let's cross that bridge when we get there. You cross that bridge. Or you don't.
You don't.
Or you don't. Or I go around.
You go around.
I mean, I might.
To other bridges.
I might start a petition or something. You got to get the word out.
It really is. Who do you report it to? Who do you call when you need to let the city know that something is like, you know, because they might just be like, nah, it's fine. You know, like, sure. What do you know about bridges?
Right.
Right.
I mean, nowadays you tweet at Mayor Garcetti and he gets it done. He gets, he fixes potholes.
Does he though?
You know me. I'm the most likely to tweet in this room. I'm most likely to tweet at Mayor Garcetti about potholes.
You can show up at a town hall. But
town hall.
But the point stands, and I'm going to put it up on the board. Lack of alarmism?
Yes.
You want to put it?
Yeah, lack of alarm. Lack of alarm, yeah.
The signs were there.
Complacency among the populace.
Complacency among the populace.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm a wordsmith. Not really.
Now, there, of course, one of the very interesting parts of this tragedy is the folklore that comes with it. Mm. I didn't know this going into it. So there were a few theories that came out after the bridge collapse. One was the sonic boom. And this was proven wrong. This theory was proven wrong. Yeah. But they thought that perhaps people in the area heard a sonic boom around the same time or just moments before the bridge fell. But investigators checked military installations and there was no aircraft capable of producing a sonic boom in the area. And the theory was proven false.
So okay. They thought like something made a sonic boom that caused the bridge to sway and fall.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one theory.
What they probably heard was the bridge falling.
It's possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another one was the curse of Cornstalk. This was interesting. In 1774, the Battle of Point Pleasant took place between approximately 1,000 settlers and 1,000 Native Americans. The commander of the Native American war party was Chief Cornstalk, a well-respected and intelligent leader. During the battle, Cornstalk could see that the defeat was imminent for his forces, and he therefore let the troops make a crucial decision, either to fight to the death or to surrender. The Native American warriors chose to surrender, and with the surrender, Chief Cornstalk signed the Treaty of Camp Charlotte. Cornstalk and his son were later captured and murdered at Fort Randolph. Legend states that in his dying words, Cornstalk, still upset over his troops' defeat, placed a curse of death and destruction upon the entire Point Pleasant area.
Ooh. Ooh.
So could this be the reason? Investigations of the bridge collapse structure ruled out. The Cornstalk.
You can totally rule something curse. Like that.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, you can rule it.
They were just like, you can rule no.
It. No.
But.
I've heard it. No. Oh, man. It'd be so fun to curse. Like, curse somebody, curse something right before you die.
Totally.
Yeah.
Man. You get one right at the end there. Yeah. And you can just throw it on anybody.
Whoever drives this Toyota Camry next will never reach 55 miles an hour.
Just a really basic, normal,
like arbitrary curse.
Yeah, yes, that's good.
But one that has stuck is the Mothman. Have you heard of the Mothman?
Only there's a movie called The Mothman Prophecies.
Yes.
I've never seen it, but I remember the cover of it.
And
I think,
this is where it comes from.
Really?
Yes. So, okay. For all the heavy documentation, one colorful theory suggests. This is from timeline.com. The cause of the bridge collapse, a bit of West Virginia folklore. In 1970, the author John Keel popularized the legend of Mothman sightings, of whom began in 1966, so a year before the bridge collapse, and were seen on the bridge near the time of the accident, though whether as a warning or the cause is uncertain. Indeed, everyone, you know, still considers this one of the local monsters, and they have a large statue of the monster.
One of
and
the
a
local
festival.
Monsters. There are many.
Wikipedia says Mothman is a creature reportedly seen at the Point Pleasant area from November 12, 1966 to December 15, 1967. First newspaper report was published in the Point Pleasant Register, dated November 16, titled Couple Sees Man-Sized Bird Creature Something. The National Press soon picked up the reports and helped spread the stories across the United States. That's what John Keel's book, The Mothman Prophecies, is based on, essentially.
So the connection to the bridge is that they thought that the Mothman cursed the bridge?
So the Mothman was, like, it was said to have these, like, red eyes and... you know, come out like a moth.
Big papery wings.
There were
strong enough to blow this bridge down.
Kind of. And they apparently some people were like, you just saw an owl. A big owl.
Right. Yeah.
But other people were like, no, it's the Mothman.
And the Mothman's one power is that he can create a tiny little fissure in a one
right
yeah
yeah
eye bar
he
in a bridge.
Stared at the eye bar with his bright red eyes.
What's curious to me
and
is
caused
that
the stress among the tensile strings.
Exactly. What is curious to me is that the Mothman left after the bridge collapsed. So the one thing the Mothman was set out to do in his scary monsterness,
his whole spiritual existence,
was to bring down this bridge.
Just seems like a coincidence and timing for me for this for these guys. Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to put the Mothman up on the board?
I have
I mean, I wonder what happened to the Mothman afterwards. Maybe he was just like, huh? Well, my work here is done.
That's what I'm saying.
Off to Bermuda.
I have a little sideboard.
Okay.
Of in case we panic and can't find anybody to blame in the original board, the sideboard has the Sonic Boom, the Cornstalks Curse, and the Mothman.
That's How amazing. About that? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
could the Mothman be Cornstalks?
Oh, heads up.
Oh my god.
So blew your mind.
And he farted a cosmic Sonic Boom. No.
Yes.
So Chris, why don't you read what we have up on the board?
I would be happy to. So, up on the board, for who's to blame for the Silver Bridge collapse, we have cold water, something we cruised right by earlier.
Yeah, that was early. I was hot. I was feeling hot. I came in hot.
We splashed cold water on that theory.
Yes, we did. Uh-huh.
The American Bridge Company.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ohio and West Virginia government.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
J.E. Griner. I forget what we named. What
He's the designer.
Jarliff. E. Griner, the designer. The inspectors, which we were undecided on. We never fully decided, but I put them inspectors question mark. Oxygen. The element oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Steel manufacturer.
Yeah.
Which was in-house.
We're assuming. Yeah.
We're going to say that's probably American Bridge. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. We're going to say that's American
Bridge.
Heavier cars.
Okay.
Which Matt wanted to push back against.
And get
we
ready.
Said, we said hold get off on ready. That. And uh-huh. we're probably going to hear something about that now.
Okay.
And complacency among the populace. Mm. So once again, really quick. Cold water, American Bridge Company, Ohio and West Virginia government, J.E. Griner, inspectors, oxygen, steel manufacturer, heavier cars, complacency among the populace.
Okay. So I think off the bat, I think we can cross cold water out. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't rub my nose in it. I'm not a dog who peed on the floor.
Okay.
You're really hot on that cold water early, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I think it's been
well,
up long
I was
enough.
Thinking the cold water could potentially be part of the loss of life. But
yes.
It really all goes back to the bridge.
I think if anything, would be not just cold water, not the temperature of the water.
Okay,
sure.
Look, he's admitted it was not a solid.
Boy, what'd you do today, Matt? Well, I went on a podcast and got just dragged through the mud.
For saying one thing.
Early on, when I was excited. I was excited to be there. I wanted to participate.
Okay, so we're going to cross that off. I also feel like, well, tell me your heavier car theory. Why you don't think that should
because,
be blamed.
Because this is the thing. You never see your car weight as part of why you buy a car. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like, well, you got to buy this car. It's 5,000 pounds. You know what I mean? It's not a thing. You're not like, ooh, power steering.
Although,
ABS brakes. Go ahead.
Well, I will say that the Prius, I don't have a Prius, and I don't know how much they weigh, but they do feel lighter than other cars. Like when you're driving in the wind and the Santa Ana winds hit it, you're like, whoa.
Right, right. Oh, this is plastic.
And
much plastic. Yes,
exactly. I, you know, when I was buying a hybrid, I was like, maybe a heavier hybrid, not the
wow.
Prius. So I did take that into consideration. But I would say right.
But did you say, oh, now that I got this heavier car, maybe I shouldn't drive on some bridges?
No, never.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a really good point. You're back. I'm going to cross out heavier cars because
yes.
That's valid. Now, the inspectors. I think we can take the inspectors off.
I agree with that. I think the inspectors did as much as they could given their time in history. Right? We know that they could not actually inspect the inside of the beam. They were actively making repairs and calling for repairs, taking care of the bridge to the best of their ability.
Agreed.
Right.
Off the list.
We're mm-hmm. signing with Petrosky here.
Yep.
No way to adequately inspect.
Okay, just so we know what's up, so you guys know what's up on the board, American Bridge Company, Ohio, West Virginia government, the designer, J.E.
Jarliff.
And I apologize to all Jarliffs out there.
Yeah, we got a lot of people listening to the pod who are Jarliths of America.
Hey, if you're an Jarlith from Ireland listening to the podcast, we thank you.
Yep, and Cousin Erin is happy with her husband.
So, oxygen, steel manufacturers, and complacency in the population. I think out next, I would cross off the Ohio and West Virginia government.
Really?
Huh. Well, tell me what. Yeah.
I think they accepted the bid, right?
Right.
Like, they had to come together to accept the bid from American Bridge Company. I don't think we can take them off of it. And they accepted, you know, initially, this is the other thing. Initially, they had a design from Jarlath Griner that was more secure, right? It had more redundancies. And then American Bridge Company came in with this lower bid of the I-bar beams.
Right.
And only the two I-bar beams. And then the governments said,
we want cheaper.
Thank you. We'll do the cheaper thing.
Right.
Right? If that, if my fact pattern is correct.
I'm going to just double check here. The American Bridge Company, which won the bid for the project, settled on the cheaper method of using I-bars instead of cables.
So they settled on the cheaper method.
Yes.
But there was no oversight from the government?
There had to have been, right?
That's crazy. There had to have been.
Unless the government's like, look, here's the budget. You guys do what you got to do.
You guys make the thing?
Figure it out.
So you figure it out.
They were a little complacent themselves.
Right. I mean, you kind of lump that into complacency among the populace. We could take the government down.
Well, here's what I think. I think the designer is hired by the American Bridge Company. So that that goes hand in hand. I think we can take the designer off because he's an employee or he's being hired by these people.
Okay.
You know, it's hard because the company is then trusting that the designer is making a good design.
Yeah,
but you can lump them together.
I think you got. He's an employee. Yeah, I think let's lump them together.
So the designer is going in. So we're okay. Now, what about oxygen?
Listen, if you don't have oxygen, none of us can breathe. So
if we put oxygen in the alarmist gel, yeah, we are in big trouble.
Yeah, right, right. You can't, like, as much as yes, oxygen caused the corrosion. Oxygen exists everywhere, right, and without it, we're all dead.
Yes.
So how can it, if you blame it for death, you can't blame it for life and death.
That's true.
Right?
You can't have your
out.
Cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
So I feel good about that. And I also feel good about the amount of time it stood up on the board. It paid its
I
dues.
Liked that we got that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I love about this too is that we never put the actual fracture up on the actual thing that was deemed by the investigators as
the
cause.
Teeny little fracture.
Yeah,
but the teeny little fracture, it just wanted to be
the stress little fracture, the yeah, stress corrosion though.
Well, the corrosion was the oxygen. So it was really, the fracture was like, I'm just hanging out.
No, I can't blame.
I'm fine. The bridge went up with it already there. It was there from the jump.
Yeah.
So it was like, I'm cool.
Look, I'm just steel here.
And then oxygen was like, you're not cool.
Get in there. I'm going to oxidize you.
Watch me make you not cool.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Steel manufacturers. I got a bone to pick with those.
Go.
And complacency. Complacency.
I think.
Can we blame ourselves?
I don't think we can. I don't think you can blame the populace more than you can blame the bridge company, right? Like, because
right,
now we're into evaluations of who is more to blame,
mm-hmm, right?
Like, if the guy who said I felt it waving in the wind had gone to city council, who knows what would have happened? It would have
right,
been a bureaucratic nightmare. And probably taken forever. So I think while complacency among the populace did exist and continues to exist to today, it is not the source
sure
of a bridge collapse.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about what you just said. And
I feel really good about all that
the words that
and also, you know, this is what we're fighting.
Off.
This is what we're fighting. We are fighting human complacency.
Correct.
In this podcast. So,
and you could say the complacency is a part of the low bid, is a part of the...
Right. Slap on the wrist. Slap on the wrist for complacency.
Right.
But you're coming off the board. Now, with steel manufacturers, it's like your job is to make a piece of steel.
Yeah.
And your job is to make sure that it this piece of steel doesn't have a hairline fracture in it, right? Mm-hmm. Because as a person who's buying it, I don't know that there's a fracture. I don't know. I'm you're selling me this product, well, and I'm assuming.
Just to be clear, the fracture didn't come with the product. It came later. The fracture wasn't the fracture occurred because of the oxidization.
No, well, the fracture there. No, there was a hairline fracture in the metal
from the jump.
Yeah. From the beginning.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
The hairline fracture.
I
got
to go
was
back
there.
And listen to this podcast.
But this is the other. So this is again. I think I would imagine that steel manufacturers understand that there are bound to be flaws in the chemical makeup of any steel beam or steel cable, and that is why you build redundancies. If the assumption was all steel is perfect, right? We pour it into this thing, it comes out in this shape, and we know that it has no flaws, then we wouldn't build backups.
And then you just need one eye bar. Why build the two? You know?
Exactly. You just need one eye
bar. Although I think for the pin purposes it needs two, but whatever. We're getting
right.
But I agree with you. I think that you're right. It's an element that we're
aware of, right?
Exactly. Like, okay, so coming off the board. So now up on the board we have the American Bridge Company / designer. And Ohio and West Virginia government, baby.
This is so fascinating.
Wow.
This is so fascinating because we literally have like a private entity and a public entity.
Right.
Who is to blame?
Who's to blame?
You could literally, you could extrapolate this into every problem that exists in our country. It's like, is it the corporate entity or is it the failure of the government?
Right.
This is a hard one.
Oh, this is so
how will
hard.
We ever pick? What, who's to blame?
I don't. Why are you looking at me?
I mean,
man, this really bumps up against like my preconceived notions about like who I am and how I believe in politics and things.
Oh yeah.
Well,
because
I feel like you're strongly leaning toward the government.
I am.
Interesting.
Wow.
Which I guess that's the thing is maybe for me I want my government to be accountable. I guess it doesn't mean that I disagree with the idea that, you know, that government should exist or be effective or participate in the day-to-day life of its citizens, but that it should be accountable. But then is that is what government is in practice, right? I guess that's what a conservative person would say, right? I've gotten off topic a little.
No, but go on.
I'm with you.
But the idea would be like, yes, in theory, government is effective and meaningful.
Right.
But once we put it into practice, because humans are flawed.
They're just people too.
It will have a flawed delivery of whatever you offer government. Man.
Wow. But, and I will say this.
I did not expect to have this happen to my brain today.
But I will say this. Like, in government, like in suspension bridges, there are backup plans, right? So it's all about if one thing fails, the other thing, it's not all going to crumble, right?
Right. And it's there's fail safes, right? There's multiple, you know, it's government.
Hopefully,
is,
if you build it right.
Our government is by the people, of the people, for the people. So it is meant to have fail safes, right? Or redundancies.
Right. And transparency, and they are meant to be accountable, right? There is transparency
and accountability.
Whereas in a corporation, there's not the requirement of transparency and accountability.
Yes.
Man.
I guess.
Okay.
It's so hard. Deep.
Yeah,
this
we are.
This is so deep.
This is as deep as the Ohio River itself.
Yeah.
Which did we ever get to how deep that was?
I didn't. I kind of got distracted.
Our fact checker gets easily distracted.
I get easily distracted. Cold water. We moved
I think
on
that's my thing.
Water.
Like, I'm the easily distracted
fact checker.
I can't believe the Ohio River, though, wasn't on the board. Because if there was no river, you wouldn't have a bridge.
Well, it would have just...
But that's all, like, causation.
Put the plate tectonics on the board while we're right. at it. I mean...
Exactly. I know. We had oxygen.
That's true.
We did have oxygen. Okay.
I am leaning towards the American Bridge Company and the designer. I can't get behind, like, I can't get past the them going cheap and only doing the two eye bars, because it just do the six eye bars. Spend the extra $300,000. Yeah, you're not going to get the mm-hmm. boat, but you know, it's safety, it's lives. There are lives at stake.
Not a time to take risk.
No.
Yeah, it's yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I
know that the...
with you. I think that if you are the government and we don't know all of the back and forth between these two entities
right.
that are clearly to blame. And you have to wonder if at a certain point right. I guess this is it. This is why I can blame the bridge company, is that if you are a bridge company and you come to me and let's say I am the mayor of Point Pleasant,
yes.
right? And I am dealing with all of these different issues in my town, right? We've got everything from local tax policy to, you know, we got stray cats. You know what I mean? And we got to deal right. with
wow, what a town.
And we also got the bridge, right? And the American Bridge Company comes and says, I'm going to build you this safe bridge. Here's how this design works. It's got these eye bars. Everything's secure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, that sounds good.
Okay, I'm not an engineer.
As a mayor, yeah, exactly. You're not an engineer. You have to trust the people around you.
And the corporations need to earn your trust.
Exactly.
And those are the people who let us down in this case. Is that sort of what you're...
Totally agree. Yes, that's it. 100%. That they vouched for this version yeah. of a bridge, and they did it cheaply and knowingly cheaply, because we have the yes. tax records. Knowingly, they did it on the cheap.
Yeah.
They were trying to save money. And so they are, in my mind...
To blame. It's settled for me. It's settled for you, I think.
Settled.
And it's settled for fact checker Chris.
Easily distracted fact checker approves.
So it's settled. The American Bridge Company is going to the alarmist jail. So we didn't blame the Mothman, but we put a big bad corporation up. I don't know if they're
although
a big
Mothman,
bad corporation.
If you're listening to the pod, come check me out. Come to my house. You probably know what it is. If you're a real Mothman, because I'd love to believe in monsters.
And if it does make a visit, just know that it's going to be the first visit in a long time since 1967.
That's right.
So
it's been hiding for a while.
What an honor! So. What an yeah. honor!
And then my retaining wall is going to collapse.
See how he does against those dowels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He'll get in very easily. Very easily.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for
my
joining
pleasure.
Us.
Pleasure.
If there's
you so
anything
much for
you want to also tell our listeners about that you're doing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have a podcast that also has an Instagram profile. It's called Dad Scraps. So you just go to dad.scraps on Instagram. You can find everything there. It's me and a couple other guys who are just trying to figure out how to be good fathers together.
I love this.
And we post about our experiences, and it's kind of like funny. A dad scrap is the leftovers that are on your child's plate that is mostly what you eat once you become a dad.
That's great.
And it's like, sometimes it feels like cheating, because it's like, well, I'm supposed to be on a healthier diet, but I gave my kid mac and cheese, so watch me scarf this. And other times you're like, yeah, I don't need that cold, pulled apart salmon, you know?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Dad Scraps. Check it out.
Well, thank you so much. And check out Matt on Young Sheldon.
Thursdays at 8 on CBS.
See you next time.
After the bridge collapse. The collapsed bridge was replaced by the Silver Memorial Bridge, which was completed in 1969. It inspired legislation to ensure that older bridges were regularly inspected and maintained. However, aging infrastructure is still a problem in the United States. In 1983, the Mayanus River Bridge in Greenwich, Connecticut collapsed, causing the deaths of three drivers. The I-35 West Mississippi River Bridge disaster in 2007 resulted in 13 deaths. The Silver Bridge was the impetus for the National Bridge Inspection Standards. These guidelines, still in use today, require all public bridges containing a 20-foot plus span to be examined every 2 years.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.